got color in your cheeks. Do you ever get that fear that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summer in your teeth? Are there some aces up your sleeve? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for the, it was like a spike in audio there, but no more technical difficulties. Figured it out. Started right on time for the second show this semester. I'm Logan Carney. Welcome to another edition of Sports with Carney. I'd like to thank you all for joining us. Got a great show coming up. Since this is the first real episode. Last episode was a special with Ian Kist. It was just a big shout out to him for joining me again here in the studio last week. But we got the actual hour-long episode here, and we got Pirates, because we got to break into that this off-season. If you call it an off, I mean, I would, you know, definitely call it an off-season, because Pirates certainly didn't do anything. It certainly seemed like they were off. As pitcher and catches reported yesterday, we got Steelers talk, because we haven't really been able to break down their season, what they're going to do with the cap signing, the cap space that they just created by restructuring DeCastro and a couple other contracts, as well as signing Rosie Nix to a long-term deal. And the only team in Pittsburgh that is playing well, the Pittsburgh Penguins. We got Penguins talk, and then maybe if we have time, we'll get into some Olympics, although, you know, I'm not a big Olympic guy, so maybe we will, maybe we won't. We'll see where we are. We'll see where we are. If you're tuning in, you're tuning in to listen to me, so we're going to talk about what I want to talk about. But thanks again for joining. I'm Logan Carney. This is Sports with Carney. I would like to ask all my listeners to say a prayer for my Uncle Ray, who is a listener of the show. At least I can assume from Facebook, but who's been diagnosed with cancer, so we'd like you all to say a prayer for him before we get started. So, Uncle Ray, if you're listening, we're all rooting for you. And this is Sports with Carney. Thank you all again for joining me. This is I don't know what total episode this is, but episode 2, season 2 of Sports with Carney. You're at Robert Morris, RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. We're going to do an hour-long episode here. 7 looks like it's going to be our locked-in time slot. And I'm going to be on, in case if you want to see more of me, or really hear more of me, because you can't really see me right now, but if you want to, you know, see more, hear more of me, I will be on Cleveland Sports Center tonight to break down the hockey team. Before we get that, you know, we got to talk about this Pirate offseason. We just have to talk about it. And I know that there's a lot of people that are sick of it, and that's understandable, because the offseason, for lack of, you know, for lack of saying something, for lack of being able to describe this without getting in trouble by my boss, Malik Johnson, this offseason has been disappointing. And again, that's putting it very, very nicely. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, some of the guys assigned. Jaime Garcia, very, very solid pitcher. You guys may have recognized him, as he spent years with the Cardinals. It was a team that came up for him. He's a career 3.69 ERA. He is coming off a disappointing season. He was 5-for-10, 4.41 ERA. But, you know, some of his other numbers, you know, his whip, his career whip was lower than it was last year. You know, he signed for $8 million today, a price that you would think the Pirates would be able to go. The Pirates right now are set to go in with a rotation of Chad Cole, Jameson Taillon. This is no particular order, by the way. Jameson Taillon is going to be the number one guy, most likely. But Chad Cole, Jameson Taillon, Yvonne Nova, Trevor Williams, maybe Glasnow, maybe Joe Musgrove, the guy that they just acquired for Gerrit Cole. You know, a lot of question marks in that rotation, a lot of young guys. The rotation, it's something that I am excited about for the future. There's a lot of talent in that young rotation. I'm not going to say this team's going to contend because I don't think they are. I'm also not going to say this team got worse in the offseason because they didn't. And that's the problem. The problem is they did not do anything that I thought that I look at can say that this team's going to be better down the road or this team's going to be better now. And then they keep spouting out, you know, lies, essentially. There's a lot harsher words that I'd use if I wasn't on mic. That act like, hey, yeah, we're still going for it. We're still contending. Then why didn't you sign somebody for $8 million? And it's cheap. It's very cheap. Why would you trade Gerrit Cole? You have 2 years left of him. And why would you get back this return? You could have got Clint Frazier, one of the top prospects from the Yankees. Newsflash, Austin Meadows, I don't think is going to be that. I think he might be a bust. And reasons for that is he hasn't stayed healthy in a full year, and he's been very disappointing at AAA since moving to AAA. Does he figure things out? Does he prove me wrong? There's the chance. I'm not saying it's 100% that he's going to be a bust. But why not acquire Clint Frazier, another outfielder? Then in Clint Frazier works out, Austin Meadows works out, you can move Marte, you can move Polanco. Again, I don't know why in a minute on Polanco, I don't know why people are just so quick to label him as a bust. Because, yeah, he has been disappointing. I'm not going to sit here and act like he has not been, he's not come up. There are people saying that we'd be better than Barry Bonds. And while I was a little bit suspect to believe that at the time, that's how highly thought of he was. But the dude's 25 years old. You know, and on the other side of things, too, he's also been in the league for 4 years. So you got to wonder, where is it with Polanco? He had 22 home runs just 2 years ago. He had 27 stolen bases in the second year. He's batted at least 250 each year other than his rookie season. So maybe he's not going to be the star player, the MVP that we all thought he would. But can he still be a, you know, consistent 20 home run hitter? Yeah, because he can. Can he raise that average up to 275? Yes, he can. Can he get 20 stolen bases? Yes, he can. Can he hit a lefty? Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But you look at it, you know, I'm not losing faith on Polanco. I don't think Polanco's a bust. He's only 25. The prime age for baseball, the prime years, are 28 to 32 with a peak at 30. That's how I view it for prime years. Now, sometimes it fluctuates depending on the guys. Like, for example, McCutcheon's, you know, 30-year-old season was not as good as his 28-year-old season or 27-year-old season. But as far as it goes, you shouldn't give up on a young player with as much potential as him when he's only 25 years old. But we need to get back on topic. I get sidetracked a lot. I'm sure, you know, most people that listen to me are just the consistent listeners, and I thank you for that, but I'm sure you're used to me getting sidetracked. So we're going to get back on topic of the Pirates offseason overall. The thing that made me mad is that he just did not get anything that I believe will significantly improve the team now or in the future. It is almost an accepted fact that the Yankees were willing to give up Clint Frazier for Gerrit Cole. Now, were they willing to give up anything more than just Clint Frazier in a one-for-one swap? We don't know. But the fact of the matter is they were willing to give up a top prospect outfielder, someone that's phenomenal, someone that could step right in and replace McCutchen, and who they traded 2 days later for Gerrit Cole. Now, that's what upsets me, because the guys they got back in the trade, they got back Joe Musgrove, they got back Colin Moran, they got back, I'm trying to think of the other two, a single A outfielder. And they got back, a relief pitcher, Michael Feliz. And the outfield prospect was Jason Martin. Jason Martin doesn't seem like, you look at, how scouts view him. He doesn't seem like anybody that will actually even make the major leagues, let alone somebody that will make an impact. Musgrove, Moran, and Feliz all look like decent players that, yes, you need them to win a World Series. You need decent players. That's what they look like. But they don't look like they have potential to be stars. And when you're trading Gerrit Cole, an ace, yes, he is an ace. When you're trading Gerrit Cole, an ace, somebody that was in the Cy Young voting 2 years ago, somebody that's 26 years old, somebody that has 2 years on his contract, a starting pitcher, two years of team control, that will make no more than $12 million. So very cheap, controlled, young, starting pitcher. He's had success in the majors. He has a number one prospect pedigree. Why did you not get back a number one prospect or a top three prospect? Or at least somebody that was in the top 100 overall? The guys they got back, Moran, Musgrove, they've only been in for 1 year in the top 100 ratings. They got back a third baseman who won't hit for power. They got back, two pitchers that are most likely going to be in the bullpen. And an outfield prospect that's never going to make the major leagues. It's only there to make the trade look better. You could have got Clint Frazier. And that's what's frustrating. And then we take a look, at the next move that they made with Andrew McCutchen. And now McCutchen's gone. From a baseball perspective, yes, it makes sense trading him. From a baseball perspective. From a fan perspective, no, it does not. And when you look at the deal they got, from a baseball perspective, I don't think it makes sense. Yes, it makes sense trading him, but for the deal that you got a 25-year-old reliever, you got a single-A outfielder again, and $500,000 worth of international bonus pool space. But then you sent them $2.5 million to take on McCutchen. It doesn't make sense. I look at this and I'm like, okay, this clearly shows that they would not have been able to get a good return for McCutchen. Except that, Pittsburgh. They were not going to get a good return for McCutchen. He is not good in defensively. His offensive numbers have declined. All he's really good for is 20 home runs. And it's sad. I love McCutchen. I missed him. I wrote him a letter that he read, which I was, teared up about. But you weren't going to get much for him. So why not keep him another year? Let him play out his contract, let him play out his extension, go to free agency, offer him the compensation amount, the $14 million, whatever the amount is for 1 year. That way, if he turns it down, he signs somewhere else, you get a draft pick. And look at these guys. You probably get a higher draft pick because of McCutchen's pedigree and the money that it would cost for him. And you look at these guys, and I sit there, and I'm looking at him like, is this really worth what draft pick you would have got if you just let him play out? You're telling me you want to be able to draft somebody better than Kyle Crick or Brian Reynolds? Doesn't make much sense. Just doesn't make much sense to me. And that's the thing. Yes, your bullpen was horrible last year. And that's the biggest problem with the Pirates last year is what I thought was the bullpen. So, yeah, trading for a young reliever makes sense. But for McCutchen, we could have just kept him for another year, keep the fan base happy for another year, well, somewhat happy for another year. And then you want to know who's going to be in that free agent pool too? And if you sit there, and you're probably sitting at home and be like, the Pirates wouldn't be able to form a forward McCutchen, or they wouldn't be able to do it. Why don't we look at the free agent pool for next year, shall we? Why don't we look at what it's going to be? Because if you haven't seen this year, if you haven't seen what has happened this year in MLB free agency, it's the players have not gotten as much as they expected. All right? In fact, there's some reasoning to expect they wanted to sue MLB for collusion. But you look at a guy like J.D. Martinez, who hit over 40 home runs last year, about over 300, was in the MVP discussion, remains unsigned. He remains unsigned to this day, unless he just signed. So I'll double check on that. But I don't think he did. Yep. Where he signed, J.D. Martinez, it looks like he signed with Boston. Possibly. But that is a maybe. But you look at his numbers from last year. 45 home runs, 104 RBIs, 376 OPS, on base percentage. 690 slugging percentage, 1.066 OPS, 303 batting average. A guy like that is unsigned. And that's this year's free agent market. Let's look at this. Ready? Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, potentially Clayton Kershaw, Andrew McCutchen, Matt Harvey, Garrett Richards, Josh Donaldson, Charlie Blackman, Drew Pomeranz, Elvis Andrus, Brian Dozier, David Price, Andrew Miller, Craig Kimbrell, AJ Pollock, Daniel Murphy, MVP from 2 years ago, Marwin Gonzalez, Gio Gonzalez, DJ LeMahieu. McCutchen on ESPN is rated as the 17th best free agent. And he'll be 32 years old. And he's been declining. He's not going to get the money that he wants. He's not going to get the money. I will bet it right now. He will not get signed in December. He will not get more than 24 million per year. He will not get that long of a deal. If he does get a long deal, he will have an opt-out in. I don't think his next place, he'll be there for more than 3 years. And you can write that down. You can tweet at me. You can Facebook me. You can do all this other stuff. And you can say, hey, Logan, you were wrong, but I'm not going to be wrong. Because I looked into my crystal ball. I saw the future. This is what's going to happen with McCutchen. You know, they got Nelson Cruz, Zach Britton, Cody Allen. That's just 20 guys. Jake Arrieta just got signed the other day. Yu Darvish got signed the other day. Those are two of the top starting pitchers in baseball. Well, Arrieta's gone downhill. Everyone figured him out, but you know, McCutchen's not even top three outfielder. Can the Pirates sign him back? They can. They reasonably can. Will they? Probably not. because they got three outfielders that are locked up, assuming Meadows is ready. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back. I'm just saying, Pittsburgh, I would not be surprised if he comes back for a year or two, at least so that he can wait out to next year's free agent market, or 2 years from now, free agent market, because this one is just brutal. There's all the big market teams. The thing is, all the big market teams are going to be on Bryce Harper. The second-tier teams are going to be fighting for Charlie Blackmon, or they're going to be fighting for A.J. Pollock. Now, maybe somebody views McCutchen higher than Pollock. That'd be understandable. But there's also Marwin Gonzalez, who batted better than McCutchen last year, played better defense than McCutchen last year, and he's a utility man, could play anywhere. And when I mean anywhere, he has played everywhere except for catcher and pitcher. And then, of course, we've not even forgotten what happens if Kershaw becomes available. Josh Donaldson, former MVP, who's still putting up great numbers. Drew Pomeranz, a very good starting pitcher. Elvis Andrews can opt out. Will you figure things out last year from the shortstop position? Andrew Miller, one of the top closers in baseball. Craig Kimball, one of the top closers in baseball. Daniel Murphy, former MVP from just 2 years ago. I don't think McCutchen's. And then there's other guys too. Like I believe. Let's see here if we can look at, you know, Adrian Beltre if he doesn't retire. Michael Brantley's a very good outfielder. Justin Smoke, okay, Richard Patrick Corbin, those are some decent players. Joe Mauer, Adam Jones, very good outfielder. Kelvin Herrera, very good reliever. Wilson Ramos, decent catcher. AJ Ramos, decent reliever. Drew Smyly, decent reliever. Decent pitcher. I don't know if he's bullpen or starting over in Seattle. Brad Bauch, very good reliever. Sean Doolittle, very good reliever. Lonnie Chisenhall, very solid player. So a lot of other guys available for cheap. The large market teams that would usually be in McCutchen, if he, say, was a free agent 2 years ago, aren't going to be in on McCutchen. They're going to be on Bryce Harper. That free agent market's not going to... Once Bryce Harper signs somewhere, we'll see what everything works out. We've discussed Pirates for 23 minutes. Man, I don't know what it is about the Pirates. It just brings, you know, anger out, and it just brings so much out of everyone. It's like politics nowadays. You can't discuss politics without somebody getting heated. Whether because they are overpassionate about the Pirates winning, or they're overpassionate about the Pirates losing. We're gonna take a quick break. Just like a 1 minute break here, but a 1 to 2 minute break. But I'd like to, you know, thank you all again for, you know, listening. We'll discuss some Steelers coming back from the break. I'd like to thank you all again for listening. This is Sports with Carney. We'll be right back.
On my settee. Do I- can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you. Never thought I'd call and run. You love you, cause I always do. Maybe I'm too busy being lost to fall for surrounding you. Now I thought it through. Crawling back to you. So have you got the goods? Been wondering if your heart's still open. So I wanna know what time it should simmer down and poker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp. I've tried been to kiss you. I don't know if you feel the same as I do. But we could be together if you wanted to.
Do I wanna know
if this feeling flows both ways?
I to see you go.
Was sorta hoping that you'd stay.
So welcome back, and apologies there if you tried to listen live, because I guess it did not go live, but it should be live now. Yeah, it says it's live now, so I apologize for the technical difficulties. Remember, it's a one-man show. It did start on time, though. Did start on time. Nobody noticed because it wasn't live. We did start on time. Anyway, maybe it's for the better, too, because that was pirate talk, and like I said before I ended it, although you probably didn't hear unless you're listening to this in the past. Pirate talk always gets people heated. So, it's time to get into the Steelers now. This is my first full episode, so we didn't have time to really break down the loss in the season. Now, I, for one, am incredibly disappointed. I did not enjoy last season. Did not enjoy it. And you know, I saw somebody write, you know, a post. It was on SB Nation's Steeler coverage about how last season was so much fun because there's so much going on. I'm sorry if I don't enjoy the little nitpick drama. It's like there's so many memorable moments, though. I don't care. I don't want to remember the fact that Le'Veon Bell held out in, you know, preseason and basically called out his teammates in a workout video. I don't really want to remember the fact when Martavis Bryant said that Juju wasn't good, essentially. I don't want to remember all this stupid drama week after week after week after week. I knew they weren't going to win. I knew they weren't going to win because they don't have the mental state to win. This Steelers team has all the talent in the world. I don't want to hear these excuses about, oh, Shazier wasn't there. A couple years ago, Bell wasn't there. Brown wasn't there. Well, Gronk wasn't there for the Patriots when they went to the Super Bowl. Gronk wasn't there with the Patriots a couple years ago when they won the Super Bowl. Who else has the Patriots lost? Basically, what running back have they had when they won the Super Bowl? What running back did the... They had a running back committee when they went to the Super Bowl. So did the Eagles. So did the Eagles. I'm sick and tired of these excuses, this drama. This was not a fun football season. 13-3, but every week it's drama, it's drama, it's drama, it's drama. It was Days of Our Lives. And I know there's people that are out there that will say, well, they went 13-3. It was a great year. No, it wasn't. They did not ever, at one point this year, despite their 13 wins, they never came off as a team to me. Everyone in that locker room is about him. It's all about them. It's all about themselves. They are a very selfish group of players. You look at the Penguins. They've won back-to-back cups. And I don't like hockey. I care less about hockey. But they've won back-to-back cups because they play like a team. When the Pirates were good, from 2013 to 2015, they got good because they played. They were unselfish. When the Steelers won their Super Bowls, they were unselfish. They had real leaders. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger's a real leader. I don't care less how many wins you have. Look at all the headbutting that goes on in that offense. Just like I don't think LeBron's a good leader either. That's a different point, but look at all the chemistry issues that he's had. Yeah, he's won titles and everything. That's because of all the talent they have. Sometimes talent can overtake poor chemistry. I'd much rather have great chemistry with some talent, because you need both most of the times, but sometimes it does happen. Now, as far where this issue is with Tomlin or Roethlisberger or Todd Haley, by the way, it wasn't, because his offense, with the 4 years of Todd Haley, the Steelers had the best four-year run offensively. Just look at the numbers. Just look at the numbers. Than in Ben's whole career. Just look at the numbers, people. It is the defense that is the problem. It's the fact that there's not a single defensive coach that's getting replaced besides the one that retired. The fact of the matter is, all these guys are back. Somehow, Joey Porter, with all of his arrests, he's been here. All the shenanigans that he goes on, the fact that they've drafted, I don't know how many linebackers. I mean, they're up to their knees in linebackers, as Coach would say from Cheers. The fact that they draft all these guys, but they don't turn out well, besides Shazier. What linebacker looks great? I mean, yeah, they had 1 year. Watt looks promising. This 1 year looked very promising. But so did Bud Dupree in his first year. And what has Bud Dupree done? The Steelers team this last season was so frustrating. And then we had the Steelers, you know, guys on the Steelers like, oh, yeah, we're just going to, you know, already thinking about the Patriots. We have people in the fan base thinking about the Patriots when they play in the Jaguars. Like, specifically, you know, like my own dad. Yes, I am calling you out, Dad. He said to me, yeah, the Steelers are going to kill the Jaguars in the game. They're going to win, I believe he said, 31-7 is what he predicted, I believe. I could be wrong on the exact numbers. And I said, well, why do you say that? He said, well, we're a much better team. I was like, well, then why did we get blown out a couple weeks ago? So, well, they had a couple pick sixes. They're not going to have that this time. What they did back then. And it was at home, and we got blown out. Hey, boo-boo, a picnic basket. You know, this team is frustrating. These are the same problems we say every single year. We say these same things every single year. And at the end, we give them an excuse. Well, so-and-so wasn't there. You know, he was hurt, and this guy was hurt. Tired of these excuses. There's so much talent on this team. So much talent. There's not, you think the Patriots, you cannot convince me that the Patriots have more talent than the Steelers do. You cannot convince me that. Steelers have the best running back in the league, best wide receiver in the league. They have the best offensive line in the league. They have Juju, who's the best rookie wide receiver in the league. They got, you know, Cam Hayward on defense. They got Watt, you know, maybe Shazier. And that's not even mentioning Big Ben. That's not even mentioning Big Ben. You know, they have a great kicker, so all they have to do is keep it closed, and he can win the game for them. There's so much talent on this team. They are the most talented team in the NFL, and the problem is they know that. That's the problem. They know that. Think back to the great quote from the movie Miracle. Where he says, you think you can win on talent alone? You don't have enough talent to win on talent alone. Steelers think that they can win on talent alone. And that's the problem. That is the problem. No team in the NFL, no matter how talented you are, has enough talent to win on the talent alone. Steelers will not win a Super Bowl until the chemistry issues get fixed. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's changing coach. I am all for Tomlin. I think the next Super Bowl win will be with Tomlin. I don't know if it'll be with Ben, but I know it will be with Tomlin because I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. The fact of the matter is, you know, you can't fire a coach that's never had a losing season. But these chemistry issues need addressed. These chemistry issues need addressed. They cannot and will not win the Super Bowl unless they start thinking about the team. And frankly, you know, the big question this offseason, what do they do with the $13 million that they saved? Frankly, I could give a rat's behind what they do with that money. Because there's two ways that you can go with it, and I think either way would be fine. You can bring back Bell, or you can put that money towards upgrading the defense. And now you look at these two things. If Bell is gone, I say, so what? So what if we don't want to pay you running back and wide receiver money? We'll put that money elsewhere. So what? What running back, what star running back did the Eagles win with? Because they had a committee. One of them being the guy that got beat out by Bell. What star running backs have the Patriots won with? What star running back did the Broncos win when they won? What star running back? I mean, I could keep going on and on and on. Who was the Vikings running back this year? Is he as good as Bell? No. They got the NFC Championship. Obviously, Fournette led the Jaguars, so I'll throw the Jaguars out. You got one out of four. Congratulations. I don't know if you can hear me clapping in the background, but that's my sarcastic clap. The fact that you got one running back, one star running back in the championship games. You don't need Bell. You don't. I'm so tired of this mantra that, you know, that people say, oh, we need Bell to win a championship, win a Super Bowl. We need Bell to win a Super Bowl. You do not need Bell to win a Super Bowl. You don't. Steelers won six without him. I mean, who are the running backs that year? They've had some great running backs that won them Super Bowls. Yes, they did. None of them as good as Bell, though. Bell, in my opinion, is the best running back in Steeler history. He does it all. Yes, he should make things easier to help you get there. A whole lot easier. But you don't need him to win a Super Bowl. Let's just expose that myth right now. You do not need him to win a Super Bowl. So the Steelers decides that, hey, Bell's not worth it. I mean, they said they were going to franchise tag him, even though the people on Sports Talk said that they won't with me. And Sam Anthony and Ian Kiss, I'm calling you guys both out. They said, oh, they're not going to franchise tag him. They're not. They're not. That's stupid. They won't do that because he will sit out. Call his bluff. He won't sit out the full year. I bet you $10 when they franchise tag him, because I don't think they're going to get a long-term deal done. When they franchise tag him, he's not going to sit out the whole year. He may sit out one or two games. He's not going to sit out the whole year. Bell's all about Bell. You know how much money he'll be missing out? So, if they decide to franchise tag him, put the rest of the money towards the defense, I'm fine with that. If they decide to cut him, put the money towards the defense, maybe get a veteran running back in to supplement Connor, I'm fine with that too. I'd like to thank you all again for joining us. This is Sports with Carney on Army Radio, your campus, your voice. Tonight I will be on Cleveland Sports Center talking Rivermore's hockey, men's hockey, who have been very disappointing as of late, just dropped 2 to RIT this weekend. Right now we're talking Steelers, but we are going to move on in a second, so we're going to take a quick break here. Thank you all again for joining us. This is Sports with Carney with Logan Carney.
The goods. Been wondering if your heart's still open, and if so, I wanna know what time it should simmer down and poker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp. I've tried and to kiss you, I don't know if you feel the same. I do, but we could be together if you wanted to.
Thank you all for saying it. I know I said we're gonna have some Penguins hockey talk, but we have been joined graciously in the studio for the new segment, Ian's Rants, as was created. If you listened to the first episode of season 2, it was phenomenal rant on Kevin Stallings. But Ian, we got 17 minutes left in the show. We'll talk something after if you don't take up. Just go ahead. What do you want to rant about today?
All right. So if you watched Sports Talking the Berg last night on RMU TV, well, if you haven't, I recommend
it. Great show.
Because you're gonna see my context here in a minute. Okay, the IOC, apparently, if you want to believe them, because they say they didn't even ask the team to do this, but apparently told the Olympic gold medalists, the women's team, I don't want to say gold medalists, but the women's team, hockey, that they couldn't wear the Statue of Liberty on their helmets because they ban any national anthem wording, slogans of political or publicness. So apparently that's what they called the Statue of Liberty, which is, like Morgan Torsha said yesterday in the newsroom, it's one of the mascots of America, along with the eagle. Like, yeah, it's because like, the Statue of Liberty is threatening.
It's like you're gonna ban the flag? I mean,
that's my next point. Countries where their flag symbols on their helmets, on their jerseys, and that's national identity. Oh, another part. Yeah, nothing that supports national shows national identity. Well, doesn't wearing the stars and stripes national identity? That makes no sense to me. I don't know, understand. And I think that I was seeing on social media, whoever's running their social media, it was a misunderstanding. We didn't ask them to do this. Okay, I don't really believe that, because why are there reports everywhere saying that the team was asked to remove the Statue of Liberty? I just don't get this. I mean, I don't know how that's threatening. I mean, I know nowhere in their rules said anything about like religion, but there's people that wear crosses that on their helmets. You see Canadian goalies wear the maple leaf, the red leaf on everything. It's the Olympics. To me, that the Statue of Liberty is not threatening. An eagle is not threatening. It's part of America. If you had something on there that made reference to the president or reference to another country's prime minister, president, something that took a shot, then yes, I understand the rule. You know, there has to be rules in place for that. But I don't understand why it was even consideration, because I do fully believe that they wanted to ban the helmets. But how about this, Logan? They tell them right before the game. Not much notice. Their helmets were probably made months ago when they found out they made the national team. Like, yeah, because – so you're just going to make them wear a white helmet then? Boring.
You would think that they would, you know, look at these helmets before, like months in advance.
Yeah, send us your helmets, or yeah, like. I mean, I just don't get it.
Do you think another team might have? You think another country might have complained about it?
Maybe, but then why do they care? Why was?
Well, they were playing Russia. They were playing Russia, weren't they?
Yeah, they're playing that OAR team, which I think is hilarious. The Olympic athletes of Russia. Yeah, they were playing Russia. But, you know, I don't understand. We should be on Russia's side because, you know, Trump and Putin are boys. They're good friends. I don't know. I don't see a reason why anybody would even complain about that. But then the Statue of Liberty came from France. So maybe France complained. Oh. Wasn't it a gift? It was a gift.
It's this big conspiracy. France and Russia out to get the United States.
And it
States.
Wasn't always green either. United yeah, States France
get the
and
women's hockey team.
Well, again, shout out to, I forget her name, and that's bad. I mean, I can look it up, but the goalie's a former Lindenwood goaltender. And, you know, kudos to her, because now that's two, at least I know of, two goalies from Lindenwood.
Nicole Hensley and Alex Rigsby are the
yes,
two
Hensley.
Goalies. Hensley.
That's one of them. I know it was starting with like an H. She, you know, CHA pride. you know, she played against Robert Morris most, because they're in the CHA together. So that's two CHA. I'm assuming we were in the CHA, maybe different conferences back when Brianna McLaughlin played for the U.S. So, I mean, kudos that, you know, that's good for the CHA with, you know, goalies coming from, you know, some lower-end schools such as Robert Morris and Lindenwood. And Lindenwood doesn't always have great programs, but I remember their goaltenders are always prime. They're always give Robert Morris a tougher time usually. It's the rest of the teams that – the defense that, you know, Robert Morris picks apart because, you know, RMU is a great women's program here. So, I think that's a kudos. Again, I mean, I love seeing those type of stories because, you know, you can relate to them a little bit. And it's not always, especially in hockey, it's not always the bigger schools that have, you know, the best, like football, basketball. No, I don't really follow that much of college baseball a whole lot. But, you know, it's the bigger schools have the bigger players. But then you look at, you know, like Robert Morris.
Well, there's only so many hockey
yeah,
teams
there's only,
with hockey
there's only like 32
teams. I mean, like Pitt doesn't even have a D1 men's team.
No, they don't have any, no.
They have a D3 club team, that's it.
But then you look at Brady Ferguson.
Phenomenal player.
And he's
phenomenal
top,
player.
Top player, one of the top players in the country. And he comes from little Robert Morris, but it's the little schools in hockey that have great programs.
That is absolutely a phenomenal point. Ian, let me ask you something about in regards to hockey, and we have about 10 minutes left. Now, there's no checking in women's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there should be checking in women's hockey?
I mean, I don't see what I gotta see what they're trying to protect. Because why let? Because basically, if you're letting the guys check, you're basically saying the woman can't handle it.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
And I believe that it should be. I do think it'd be allowed. I think it'll make the game. I think there's that's why for hockey, there's a big disconnect between men's and women's, because a lot of people think women's hockey's. I don't, because I think it shows a lot. I mean, they have to make up for it in other ways. But some people think women's hockey's boring, and help people think women's basketball's boring. But like, those are the two sports I follow really, you know, great and accurately here at Robert Morris, because they're great teams. Same with lacrosse. Literally, men's and women's lacrosse are two separate like sports. Like their roles, their face-offs, their equipment. Like,
well, the thing is too about, you know, women's hockey is a lot of the players that, you know, that you know we would get, you know, some of them might not come from hockey towns. They'll come from places where there aren't any women's teams, so they'll be playing on the men's team, and they can still check and they can still get checked when they're playing on the men's team. There's no special, you know, rules that says that they can't just because they're women. So, yeah. So the fact that, you know, that some people may say, hey, yeah, they can't handle it. Well, why not? You know,
exactly. I mean,
but there is a positive note, I think, though, in the fact that there is no checking. It makes the game a lot. For my opinion, it makes the game feel a lot faster.
Yeah,
a lot faster.
Because I think,
nobody's worried about getting hit.
And I think a lot of people think that the men's and women's games are different because of, you know, men are just faster than women. And that's not it. I think you've nailed it right there, saying if you let them hit, I think the women's game would be much quicker because you would be going after the guys on the boards. You would be, you know, trying to get to the guys because you know you can put a hit on them and make a play easier.
And we got about 8 minutes, 7 minutes left. And so why don't we get into what I promised you for 7 minutes? Let's talk a little bit of Penguins hockey. Now, Sam told me that he was upset that we didn't bring this up on Sports Talk. Ian's is on that with me as well as Matt Simkovic. The Penguins have won 9 consecutive home games. Best in the NHL. They haven't lost since, I believe, January. Am I correct?
Probably, yeah.
Early January, maybe late December. It's been a while at home. At home, of course.
Right.
At home, of course. So, Ian, where do you think the Penguins are going to end up this year? Do you think that this dominant stretch is going to carry them in the playoffs? And if they get to the playoffs, if they get one of the high, I mean, it's looking like they're going to get one of the higher seeds. So why don't we just say when they get one of the higher seeds, do you think that they are going to win it again, considering just how great their big three has been and the fact that they've been so dominant at home, especially recently?
I do. I mean, they're at least getting to the semis, the Eastern Conference Finals. Last year, it was the Ottawa team that tripped them up a little bit with the game's double overtime winning in game 7. A lot of people thought that was a sweep, but I knew for sure that wasn't going to be a sweep because they came out and took game 1. But when they came out to game 1, I knew they were going to give them a series. But I don't think I see any team that really can maybe trip up this Penguins team. I mean, it's hard to see who they'll face based off of how, you know, everybody finishes. But I think, you know, a Boston Bruins team this year can very well, you know, send the Penguins home upset. But, again, I mean, I think the playoffs have thrown the Penguins a lot of different things and different scenarios, and they've been able to overcome it. And every year, like we saw on the show last night, every year the Penguins find their form towards the end of the season, take that momentum in, and just dominate in the playoffs. I don't even think the goalies – situation. I mean, I think I'm okay with it. I think Murray will find him, will come to form. You know, he's been dealing with, you know, a family situation. But I think, you know, so, you know, his head right now, obviously, is not in all 100% hockey, and it will never will be. But I like the, you know, DeSmith and Jari. I always say his name wrong, but he come in, Jari, they've been playing fantastic, and they've been sending him down and back. It's like Glasnow with the Pirates and the Miners. But
except Glasnow hasn't really been performing well.
No, and these guys play him. They're trying, I think, they're sending him down back to Wilkes-Barre. He's trying to give him their chance up here in the Pens and just, you know, giving them experience. They're both playing well, but, you know, just getting them ready, because you never know if Murray will go down and those two will be your starters in the playoffs.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned the Bruins as one of the teams you think you can see the Penguins getting upset by. It might not even be upset because they might. The Bruins are probably going to finish with a better record and everything. More points. They're up 10 points in the Pens now.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other teams that you are worried about? You know, they're behind the Capitals, Lightning. The Maple Leafs, and the Lightning in the Eastern Conference.
The Leafs are, you know, I mean, you would think there'll be a team where Kessel would try to go and just demolish. But again, they're going to try to come out and demolish him too. But I think the Maple Leafs, I mean, we've seen the Lightning before. Obviously, that's 2 years ago. But the number one seed never does anything. And they're probably going to be the number one seed.
Yeah, I think back to whenever, you know, the Kings won as the eighth seed. Mm-hmm. And this thing I like about hockey is, you know, I'm not a big
seeding
hockey fan.
Seeding doesn't matter, really.
Exactly. Well, you look at the NBA, for instance, it's always going to – the top four teams are usually one, two, or three seeds.
Yeah.
Occasionally, there'll be a three seed. Usually, nine times out of ten, it's going to be a one and a two, occasionally three. NBA playoffs, I'm sorry, they don't excite me if you're an NBA fan out there. Because there's no upsets. Call me when an 8 seed like the Kings make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, or in this case, the NBA Finals. The NFL does it occasionally. You'll see a wild card. You know, we think back, of course, to the Steelers when they won it. They won their fifth Super Bowl. They were a wild card team. So we see that occasionally. MLB playoffs, that rotate, that fluctuates a lot, too. Seeding doesn't matter as much for MLB playoffs. But hockey's really the one where, you know, it's significant.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not significant, I should say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look at the past 2 years. I mean, the way the seeding is, it's you would think, you know, you would want a Pens Caps in the semis, but they get them in the second round. The way they seed it, because you would think the way hockey does it, you may have touched on this a minute ago, but you would think that, you know, you would one through eight seeds. One would play eight, two would play seven, three would play six, and so on. But the way it's different in hockey, because they changed it a few years ago, because, you know, I'm the NHL, and I'm going to be different. And I'm going to be Gary Bettman, and I'm going to be different. And no one likes Gary Bettman. Not as much as probably Roger Goodell gets hated, but that's for another discussion. so, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, anything is different in hockey. You know, some players come up to show. You can shut down players much easier than you can basketball and baseball. The other two major sports. You never know. I mean, but last year's playoffs, Crosby gets hurt, concussion, best game. A lot of things were thrown the Penguins' way. And to me this year, they've come over adversity, and they look like a team that can still fight and fight and fight. And that's what makes me believe this team could three-peat.
And just a quick question. We got 1 minute left, so it's going to be a quick yes or no. Not about the Penguins, though, but it's something that's really been interesting in terms of probably the most interesting thing in the NHL this year. Do you think Las Vegas gets to the finals?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
All right. You heard it here from Ian. I'd like to thank, again, Ian for joining me in the studio for the last 20 minutes. We had a little bit of Penguins talk. We got to hear his rant. All right, we'll see what he comes in next week. Maybe we'll get some Gary Bettman rant next week.
Or Goodell.
We got about 30 seconds left, so we'll just let the music play you out. Thank you for joining Sports with Carney. Your host, Logan Carney. Once again, thank you all for listening. We'll be back same time, hopefully, same channel on RMU Radio. Your campus, your voice. I'm Logan Carney. Have a good night.